Next, sustainability, local, all those things. So I have been doing this now for 30 years, and I have seen variations on the theme of, and I'm going to just use this as an opportunity to, I'll speak a little bit, and then I'm going to hand it to Janet, and then we'll go down the table in here, and then I might come back and say a couple more things. And in that 30-year period, I have seen a wide range of both I would describe as moderately successful, and I wish I'd have done more kinds of efforts to get out the message. And we oftentimes, I would say, have had a challenge of speaking to the choir, if that's a phrase, and getting out of that morass a little bit is really desirable in my mind. And so I actually go out of my way and admire those out of their way to not just speak to the choir, although because that's important and we should, and we are the choir here ourselves, but also to reach out to the rest of the community. And so I've been involved in lots of different things that I thought were efforts in that regards. But one that came to mind when I was thinking about this workshop was the ability to reach out through the media. And I have done quite a bit in media work, and I think I could share a little bit about that. Probably my longest running adventure in that world is on our local community radio station, KVMR, a nonprofit community station, where I have had a sporadically but more consistently organic gardening show called Organic Matters, not just organic gardening, organic farming, organic issues, environmental issues, all the stuff that relates to it, that we run on a monthly basis and sometimes bi-monthly, that's been running now for over 20 years, and in the last 10 years pretty much every month. And it exemplifies to me the opportunity, the challenges of actually getting our message out, and gives the opportunity, and I've come to find out we have quite a loyal following. Our local radio station has a slot that we have gardening every week on Fridays at 1 o'clock. We've got some gardening related topic or agriculture related topic, and mine is one of them. And all those shows all have good listenership within our radio station, which reaches basically the Sierra foothills and down into Sacramento and farther in some areas. And judging by the number of members we've gained when we ran our shows during membership pledges, plus the amount of phone calls we get, plus the emails I get, plus all the other things, I can see that our little show touches a lot of people, and we cover a lot of topics, and we promote local organic farmers and issues about organics, and we talk about all the different things that cross over into it, and we interview local organic farmers and processors and a lot of related things. And it's a very dynamic, effective thing. It doesn't take me a whole lot of time each month. It's something that most communities have, a community radio station that you can tap into. And yes, you have to get over your fear of talking, and I got over that initially by being interviewed with a friend who basically was a volunteer DJ in there, and he and I worked together to basically set up a radio format, and that format then has been evolved over different people I've worked with over the years. It's not as hard as you think, and you'd be surprised how receptive they are to this. And I know that because there is also a similar type thing running in the Chico area community radio station. Who did I see? KZFR, is that what it is? That also has had a number of shows and regular things on organics, and interviewed farmers and done a lot of those kinds of things. I say that because there is a blatant interest in the urban and suburban community and rural community, because we are mostly rural in our area, about this stuff. They're really interested in it. I'm surprised how often I get stopped on the street. Oh, I listened to your show last week. That was great. Thanks. You know, and most of it is really basic practical stuff, but also it's to the overview, and people do like to hear about the overview. And so we go through genetic engineering issues, or we go through soil erosion or timbering issues, or, you know, the land squabbles, water squabbles. We've covered all different kinds of topics. It's not that hard to do it. It actually is pretty easy, and if you don't mind, you know, the free-form nature of it, you can really kind of wing it. And virtually every community's got either a college-based or a community-based radio station that you can get on, and I would urge you to check it out. And probably there is somebody that's already done some of this formatting on that station, and you just need to find out who that is. And often it could be as simple as just getting invited to be interviewed for the first time. And being interviewed can put you in both the public, which gives you direct promotion. You can talk about your farm, and you can also take the opportunity to talk about other issues that are related to it or other organic farming things. So that one works for me. It works for a bunch of my farmer buddies, and it definitely, it costs nothing. It just takes some time, and it has an impact, and it's low-tech, relatively, but it definitely hits an audience. I think that model could be used everywhere and should be, and in places that have been doing it are succeeding, and I hear it other parts of the country, and I know up in Mendocino County it's going on and other places where there are these. So I urge you to check that out. Related to media is the other kinds of forms of media that you can get your face in or on or about. One of my first experiences with the television media was through the agricultural programs that show at 5 in the morning in farm communities. You know, there's an ag, what's it called? Not Ag Alert, but the weekly program that's put on by the Farm Bureau interviews lots of people. I got interviewed back in the 70s initially for a Farm Bureau TV show, and I've been on probably 4 or 5 times since on different topics, and every now and then organics gets to be an issue. And you can actually bug them and get your face on there. They're looking for topics. They actually go out of their way to find them, and even now the Farm Bureau used to be... They had such a hard time with the O word. They now are kind of over that to some degree. And so it's become a commodity thing, so they think it's an issue. And, you know, while I wouldn't call them raving supporters of organics, they're at least somewhat in a neutral to even positive phase of their thing. And yes, you can get on there if you have a story, and it doesn't have to be like you're a mega farmer. They actually now like things like little farmers. And related to that, a program which I've been on a couple of times and would suggest that you check into is California Heartland, which if you watch PBS or public broadcasting in California, is syndicated through most of California now. It was started as a project with the Farm Bureau and a private fella that wanted to basically put a face on agriculture. And it's sort of a 60-minute style vignette sort of thing of 4 or 5 different farm-related topics each half-hour program. And so it gives people sort of a cafeteria introduction to agriculture, quick and easy. And it's extremely popular. They put this thing out wanting to run it for 13 weeks as a starter. They got 4 times the audience they predicted from the beginning. So that was hugely successful, even though, you know, only so much penetration from public television. And they're looking for stories. That's my take-home message. CaliforniaHeartland.org. You can go on there and submit an idea if you'd like to be CaliforniaHeartland.org. That's a website. And you can submit a suggestion. And they follow up on lots of them because, again, they are shooting 4 or 5 different ones a week. They need lots of ideas. Organic is a hot idea. They like the angles of small farms. They like people doing unique stuff. And they like to shoot fun things. They came to the hose down. They've been here. What else have I been to that they've done? They've done lots of festivals. They do all that kind of stuff. That's a market waiting to be more tapped into. There's the audience, the latent audience and interest in agriculture is much greater than anyone anticipated. That's sort of, it follows the phenomena of the farmer's market trend, which turned out to be as important to people about the contact with the humans and knowing about where it came from as it was about the cheap food or the good deal or whatever, or the, you know, the direct fresh stuff. People wanted to know who the human beings were in this. Well, this puts a face on agriculture, and there's too few opportunities for that. So has anybody else ever been interviewed by any Heartland in here? Phil LaRocca. So I know that they're constantly looking for names and ideas. I send them a few every few months, and one or two of them gets on the show. Not from me, but people I know. They've bugged me for years about ideas. So when I think of something creative, I send them an email, and they follow up on it. So that's another free medium. You know, it costs nothing to do this stuff. And they literally, you know, they show your product, and they show your farm, and they show you, and they haven't been out to your place, Tony.
No.
Oh, okay. He's beating them off. But at any rate, so I think that's kind of an example. The other one, which is food writers in newspapers, they're interested in these stories. All newspapers in major cities have food writers, AP, et cetera. All these larger media outlets do as well. They write lots of articles about farmers and food and creative things going on. This has a real big spinover effect in the average consumer, the person who's going to go out and shop, the people that read those sections of the paper are the people that do cooking and go out and do shopping and are interested in food and they like trends. And you can see that it's been over the years. The Chronicle is a good example in the Bay Area, Sacramento Bee in Sacramento, LA Times. They cover these stories. They're interested in it. They want to know what's hip and trendy. They want to know what organic's about. They want to know what small farming's about. And so that's a good place. And yes, they take ideas. You think that, you know, they just find this stuff, but basically people send them leads or tell them or call them up. It's as simple as looking in the paper and seeing who the food writer is and calling up or sending an email and saying, hey, we got a story you might be interested in. A good example of one that got made really good coverage this last year was Jim Denovan, formerly of Gabriella Cafe, now has a project called Outstanding in the Field, which is a literally open-air restaurant program project where he sets up a relationship with an organic vegetable grower usually, but it can be fruits or flowers or all kinds of things. They put 150 a table 150 feet long, seat people that come and pay to sit there and learn about farming in the middle of a field, have an amazing meal cooked by some famous local restaurateur, and the local wineries provide the wine and they get the local food from the different growers, and people walk away going, oh wow, wow, and they get the whole thing real quick about what organic's about. Plus they have this sensuous, wonderful meal. And yes, it makes front page of the food section, full-blown pictures in the Chronicle and the San Jose Mercury News, because it's a good idea, and consumers want to know about this stuff, and they're willing to pay. These aren't cheap meals. They're $60 a head. Say again?
I'm sorry, where's he done that?
He's done it mostly around the Bay Area. So he's from Santa Cruz, and he's done it up into the Napa Valley and over into the East Coast, East Bay, and down around here. And he's expanding that. I think he did 5 last year, and this year he's going to do 7 or 8 of them. Jim's great idea is really could be multiplied almost anywhere with a little bit of effort. It doesn't cost him. In fact, he makes money on it. That's the fact of it. It's a business for him. And it's all about organic. It's all about local. It's all about fresh. It's all about specialty varieties. It's a hit. And the farmers that put it on love it. My friends that have gone to it love it. And people get it. They don't have a clue. They get it. They go there and they go, oh, this is where it comes from. And then you eat this succulent, wonderful meal, and you get these people talk to you about what they're doing, and gee, how can you have any more fun than that? And they get rave reviews, and now he has people coming back at multiple. He didn't think that was going to happen, that people would keep wanting to come back when he went to a new farm. But now people want to come back because he got a new farm, new deal, and some of the same people from the last meal show up, plus new ones. And they get 150 people at these things now. They sell out. Denovan, D-E-N-E-V-A-N, Jim Denovan, Outstanding in the Field. He has a display, and I think he's in the business directory, and he's in Chapel that shows some of the stuff. There's a really good, effective tool that, again, only hits 150 people at a time, but then it gets in the paper and has a huge spinover effect. So I really think that we don't do a very good job generally manipulating our supporters. I'll say that in a funny way. They're passive supporters. They don't even know it. They support it when they get it put in their face. They go, wow, I think this is really cool. But they don't even know they're even looking for it, you know, until it hits them in the face. So those are just some examples of media ways that I think people and Sacramento Co-op has taken advantage of media. Maybe Janet will describe some of that. In fact, I'm sure all three of you have some experiences there. The media has a lot to offer us in a way that give us individual, generic, or specific promotion. And the truth be known is they like this little guy's story. You know, the Earthbounds of the world, and if anybody's here, I'm not castigating Earthbounds, they're a friend of mine, but they're not as juicy of a story for the California Heartlands or the Chronicle as you little Joe Schmo farmerette or farmer. That is a hotter topic right now than the big farms getting into organics, although that also is a topic and it does get covered. So I just think that's just yes, it does take, you have to step out of your role as a farmer or what you're doing and kind of become a PR person. And being a PR person isn't necessarily a bad thing. The few that have done well with it have done well with it. And I'll stop with this last comment about it and then I'll go to Janet. Probably the best example of somebody taking a commodity that's generic, unidentifiable, and downright a disaster financially and turning it into a legitimate, ongoing, successful business that helps the community and themselves and is organically based is my friends from the Lundberg family. Lundberg family farms, the rice growers predominantly. They took a commodity that has, it's faceless. It's a generic silo product and put everybody out of business doing it and turned it into a identifiable brand named product that has a strong following. And when the prices of the commodity goes into the toilet, they are still able to maintain their prices. And they work the media. They actually think about it. They think about it, where they're going to get press releases. They think about how they're going to get a story in the paper, or and they use it. And they now have a person that, and oh, and related to that, I asked them a long time ago, you know, or maybe they made a presentation, and there's four brothers. They're all getting up in retirement age, plus the younger generation, who's all active in it. And I asked them one time, or somebody did, you know, how much time do you spend involved in promotion and marketing as of the four brothers? And they thought about it for a bit, and they said it was between 60 and 70% of their business hours as those four brothers work on that part of the business. Now, they also do production, and they're also involved in other parts of it, but they have gone out of their way now for 35 years. I met those guys when their only product was a 100-pound sack, burlap sack, stenciled, hand-stenciled bag of organic rice. That was the only way you could buy their product. And that was in the early 1970s. And in 30 years, there are now multiple products and multiple lines of things. And they always focus on educating people. If you read their products, they educate you right there on the spot. They go out of their way to teach you about what they're doing. And they have literally, I think they're the second largest employer in their county, in Butte County, in an area that's devastated agriculturally. In fact, it's a welfare state, basically, in the rice industry. They are the exception to the rule. They did it by being aware and savvy of the media and manipulating it in a positive way and being relentless about education. And they make money doing this. And that's why those four guys spend so much time at it. So that, I use that as an example. You think of, you know, you're, where are they? Oh, Lundberg. Lundberg Family Farms. They make rice products. They are, you can find them in any natural food store. They're the biggest supplier of rice products in the organic business. Oh, rice and brown rice cereal and rice cakes and rice crackers and they got 100-odd products now. Rice syrups and da-da-da. Anyway, so they're a good example of taking what is otherwise faceless generic, and relatively, they're not a very big operation in the world of rice. They're a family farm that farms a lot of acres. But they've also been able to now get big enough that they now buy from 30-odd other growers. So the pull-through effect is actually affecting 30 growers plus all their employees. And their main focus is this education process in varying forms. So I just close with that. That's an example. Oh, no, I got one last one. Sorry. Because this one's a current one. And I just you can also use packaging as a message. And you will notice that Lundbergs are really good at packaging and a message. This happens to be a brand new one from Cafe Mom, the folks that are supplying the coffee here. Question, Tony?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, let me finish this and I'll take a question or two from you. And on this new container, they have all kinds of education, including saving migratory songbird habitat and coffee and the recovery of life and socially responsible, shade grown. It describes the organic Mexican farmers that grow this in a co-op. It personalizes what otherwise is a generic box of coffee. And this can be done with any scale of agriculture, with any product. We need to put faces on our stuff. You know, Mr. Campbell started by taking tomatoes from the neighbors. He was a tomato farmer and got in the soup business. The rest, as they say, was history. You know, he did a good job of promoting what it was that he made. All of us can do that on some level. This is a good current example. These guys have done a good job of getting on the back label a whole bunch of info about what they do and organics in general and why this is important to you, the consumer, and how they put their money into pesticide reform, and it goes on and on and on. Social responsibility, it covers a lot. They've got a website it links to. Right on the front it says fair traded and organic. These are the things that we need to get more kinds of promotion of, and the word fair trade has really helped the coffee industry. We think we need a fair trade for organics too, which people have talked about but not act on yet. But these are the kinds of things I think are good examples of what can be done. So, without further ado, I'm going to ask Janet Zeller. She from Tony. I'm sorry. Yes, I'll take that one question.
I farm in the Central Valley, and it's difficult when you're promoting products because you don't want to put down your conventional neighbors as far as, you know, your neighbors, friends, and relatives. And do you think the honeymoon period is over because see tracks now putting down organics.
We're
just starting to know.
Yeah.
Notice now articles on how.
Yeah.
Organics is coming under fire. Are we? Do you think we're going to see more, and we're going to have to defend ourselves as far as?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question, Tony. I have a hard time crystal balling things, except you say when things become more popularized, the extremists and any other movement will start to attack it. And now, since it's become legitimatized and there are more and more growers doing this and it's an industry instead of a bunch of individuals.
We have to take hard line.
I don't know about hard line. I'll take that from two different positions. Yes, I think some people should be saying, yes, it's safer for us. That should be a message. That's safer for the environment. There are lots of reasons to talk about the advantages. I don't necessarily think you have to attack the opposition in order to have an effect in that regards. And in fact, all these ones I just mentioned, they're interested in the positive story. Now, I'm sure they'd love the juicy, you know, stabbing story too, but basically they're looking for, you know, some good news to promote in this process. And yeah, we're going to probably have to be defending ourselves more in the future because, A, for good reason, we're now becoming more visible on the whole thing, and we have some holes in our underwear. This is not a perfect thing, you know. I mean, I would be foolish to say we've got it all covered, and the truth is that's okay, as long as it's fair. We do get the Dennis Averys of the world who just blast us with mercilessness. Well, yeah, well, he's a mouthpiece. The Hudson Institute is paid for 100% by the petroleum pesticide gene splicing industry. You would expect them to do this, you know. I mean, his most famous book is Saving the Planet with Pesticides and Plastic. I mean, you know, it's... You know, that is their, and so, and yes, he's very good at manipulating the media, you know, and he got that whole 2020 thing that smashed down about the E. coli deal. I don't know if you caught all that deal a couple years ago. That was Dennis basically getting that guy on 2020 to go over there and basically do a story that wasn't accurate and then have to retract it because it was so inaccurate. But they used this guy as the, quote, credible... I think so, and take them on in a way that doesn't attack them, but refutes what they're saying, and shows what the obvious truths really are. And, you know, that you can't stop somebody in an illogic process, but you can at least provide dialogue that theoretically balances it. Chuck Benbrook, who is a speaker here and really bright guy, not in this room, but he's in another session, this afternoon on nutrition that we're doing, has taken on Mr. Avery publicly, as well as that we had a talk here once where we got the two of them in the same room. So, you know, it's, yes, this guy ain't going away. You know, he's the lead dog on this particular kind of approach of yapping at, oh, this is bad thing, organic. So, yeah, I think we should keep going at him, you know, but not in a way that makes, agriculture is in all this together. The organic farmers are no better in per se than the conventional farmers. They're just farther along on the continuum of learning about agriculture. And I think of it as the conventional farmers as the victims. They've just been continue to be victimized by the propaganda machine that's been in place for 50 years. So, you know, we don't want to go out. I don't want to go out and trash my neighbors or my buddies. I want to bring them along with it. So I think you don't go and point fingers at them. You go and you point the positives out and you refute the bullshit parts and say, that's not true. Here's what really is happening. And not say, oh, that conventional farming, that's terrible. I don't think we gain much from that. I think we really focus best on the positive aspects and then we move forward from there. But yeah, we're going to have to say stuff about this stuff because that guy ain't going away. He gets a full-time paid staff to do this nonstop. So he ain't going away. He's got a lot of money behind him. And this is a big nut issue because we're talking about basically the dismantling on some levels of a giant paradigm of, you know, high-input toxic technology brought to you from the university experts and the outside corporate interests who have brought this all to us for 50 years. We break that paradigm. That's a fact. And it disturbs those guys that we break that paradigm. It just flat out does because it's a vested interest. Their ox is being gored. So, yeah, we just have to keep going back at them and saying, and that's what happened when they had the 2020 thing was wrong. The OTA jumped on it and said, that's wrong. Here's the right information. And, you know, let's get some other. And they finally retracted part of it. So, yeah, it ain't going away. They're going to mislead the story as long as they can get away with it. Now, to be fair here, I want to give everybody a chance to get plenty of time. And I've talked plenty long enough. So we'll take some questions after here, and then we'll go from there. So Janet Zeller, would you please talk to us, let me give you this thing, about what the SAC Co-op is doing as a retail store to educate the neighborhood can just flip it on to your thing.
Or just say what they're not doing.
Yeah, we'll see. Or what they're not doing. And I want to just reemphasize, this is my best personal interaction example of a retail store and what it can do to impact its community about this subject, and this lady leads the charge.
Wow, thank you. Well, I'm really happy to be here, and in a way, just being here with Amigo and Dinesh and Ray, three people that have definitely inspired me and helped me to get a better idea of how I could help to be a bridge between people that grow our food and all of us that eat it. So in preparing for today, I sort of thought that maybe I would look back. I've been working in the arena of educating and promoting about organic and natural foods for about 25 years. And sort of look back and see, what do I know for sure now where I am? Give you some examples of some of the things that we're doing at Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op that are working. And then Amigo said to bring up a little bit of a dream for the future, maybe a vision that I would have for the future. And so I think that, you know, and I always like at the EcoFarm conference, one thing I sort of notice is I try to like pick up on themes that are starting to emerge. No matter what workshop I'm in or conversation around the dinner table, there seems to be these different themes that come up. And this year so far for me, what I've heard is listen. And I think that what I feel is really important is that to really listen to the growers, to take every opportunity to go to workshops and listen, you know, like not even just if you're a retailer doing promotions, going to all the ones that are just pertaining to that. But I used to go to like anything where I could hear, you know, Dinesh talk or Amigo, just to start to understand more about the overall picture that I'm trying to tell the story of to consumers. To gain knowledge, personal knowledge, I came at Natural Foods because of my own personal health challenges. And it's funny because as I'm learning, now I'm kind of going back and I'm learning more about science and the soil. So I think people come at it from all different directions. So sort of wherever you're at, whatever brought you to this, and then look at personally how you or the people that are working with you to educate others can broaden your understanding. Especially finding out what inspires you, because I think when promotions are coming from your heart and it's something that you can get excited about or that you can, like, for example, I love to work with artists, local artists, and this is a result of some of that, but to be able to communicate to an artist different elements of a message that you want to put out, because I think a lot of times through art or just a beautiful quote or something inspiring, it can kind of support, you know, what you're doing without just, you know, buy organic food, but you can keep bringing that message. And I think the other thing I heard Amigo say is being relentless about education. For me, it's just been noticing that I have to keep adding to the information that we're giving about what's going on because things are always changing, but not to forget just the basic messages. I mean, just even basic science or the web of life, you know, what's in the soil and how healthy the soil is, that's how the plants, just very basic, and just keep the basics going. The difference for me right now in doing the work that I do is that we definitely have a team thing going on at Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op, which has allowed me a lot more freedom, and I'm able to move and get a lot more done. At different times, I would be like the lone voice. You know, we should go all organic in our produce department. The board, oh, we could never do that. You know, and just, you know, all this, no, 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 or having management that had other ideas. And just to kind of let you know where it's at now is that and a lot of my team, that we're all here right now, but my general manager, totally supportive, he's here. I know that I've worked at times where the general manager never even came to the EcoFarm conference. Every year we also bring people that have never been to the conference before. Our produce manager is here. She's on the board of the Ecological Farming Association. Our merchandiser's here. This time we were lucky enough to bring one of our cooks from our deli, our trainer from Human Resources who does all the new employee orientations, a new person on my marketing team. So this is a message I have is that try to get as many people from your farm, your organization, your company to come to this conference, because when you really look at how important is it to have many voices within your business, your company, speaking about this in different ways, finding out what inspires them, gaining knowledge from experts in the field and being able to communicate that out. Because in my position right now, I'm in meetings a lot, I manage a lot of people, and I do interact with customers, but not very much. But there are many people that do interact with customers, and so the more that you can, you know, get the excitement and the knowledge that is brought out here and in other workshops and conferences, I really think that that is great. And another thing that we've done is we've made a commitment to training, and we try to tap into people that are very knowledgeable and can get people excited about it, and obviously we have the best here, Amigo. He comes every year to our store. We focus on organic education, and then each year we offer the same thing so that new people that come into our organization get that training, and other people that, you know, want to go again can go again. It's so popular, and it's so exciting to watch, you know, just our produce staff, you know, how they are before and how they are after they spend an hour with Amigo. And it's just amazing. And just their whole awareness, how they are with customers, how they support marketing efforts, because that's another thing. I've been in a situation where, you know, marketing is like, they're making us do these things, or they're bitching at us about the signs, or, you know, it's this whole kind of a conflict. And in the sense of having everybody from the general manager all the way, you know, I don't even want to say like a totem pole, more like a pie or a wheel, all of us kind of on the same page is amazing and is worth a lot. So it's worth, I believe, the money to have the meetings, to sit down and talk, to get your staff out, to get experts in to talk to you, growers coming to your store, or you taking your staff out to the farms. But before doing any promotions, what we did this time, we just sat down and we had all the people that I mentioned, and we wanted to say, what is our commitment? We decided that we were going to take the step and go all organic in our produce department. We spent a lot of time talking to our customers and getting clear about what we wanted to do, and we decided that's what we want to do. Then we started asking our customers, what did they want? They wanted to know where the food came from. What growers did the food come from? Where did it come from? And so we made a commitment that we wanted to have on our signs the name of the farm for a couple reasons, to show the origin, but also to start putting the face to the farmer, the name to the farmer. And that was just like one little piece. It's a piece of our program. My concern is that, and we, if any of you were in the workshop yesterday with Whole Foods and that whole experience, the idea of when your promotions, your educational materials really don't have integrity all the way back to where they came from. So we, you know, it's, you can put signs up, you can put a farm up, but if everybody, all the produce clerks, the produce manager are not on it saying, we want to make sure that if we have a farm up on our sign, that is where the food came from. And that's really challenging. It's easy for marketing people to go, we need to do this. And then it's like, how many times does something like that just fall to the wayside, people give up? So we spent a lot of time talking to our produce manager, to her, she was talking to her staff, our merchandiser, our general manager, so that if we said we were going to do this and we did it, it had to be done. And if it wasn't being done, there was, you know, there was going to be someone making sure that it happened so we could feel that we had a sense of integrity about what we were doing. And that sort of goes all across the board. So on the up on the wall over there is our commitment statement, and that statement came out of us sitting down and deciding what was important to us and what we were going to live up to. And the other thing about that, like, we really decided that when the whole thing with the organic standards was coming up, and we had spent many years trying to educate consumers to buy organics, and then all of a sudden there's a lot of confusion about that, we decided that we wanted to bring out two other aspects and incorporate them just as important as organic, which was to buy local and to buy seasonal. And what does that mean? And so those are like underlying themes also that we use in everything that we do. And I have some examples to show you about that. But it's a work in process, because like right now we're trying to define within our organization what does local mean. And these are things that you don't just sit down for 5 minutes and figure it out. I mean, you could, but then it doesn't have as much meaning as you really work through it. So we try to be careful before we actually put something out to the public that we're really doing it. And maybe we'll do it for a while to make sure that we're really doing it, see where the glitches are, and then keep moving. Our deli is a total challenge. We have really high expectations for it. It's food service. But with the leadership of our general manager in the last year, we definitely said that we wanted to go all organic produce within the deli. And that has been a challenge, and we're still working out the kinks, but we're doing it much more. We were able through that endeavor to really work with the aspect of local and seasonal, because we have an aspect of our menu that changes with the seasons, and we feature local growers' food there within that changing menu. And so I have some flyers in the back of the room of how we kind of put that out. But once again, it's not perfect, and we're constantly having to work at it. So I guess my message with that is that even if you just do a piece of what your overall vision is, do that piece. And then the next year, 6 months later, add something else in. And if it doesn't work right away, if you really believe in it, don't stop doing it. Because, for example, working with the growers and getting growers to come to events, I mean, many, many years ago, I would be like, oh, we'd call 25 growers, no one would call us back, and we had this event, oh, we're come and meet your local growers, and, you know, one person would show up, and we would be kind of bummed out about that, but then it was back to the listen, understand and learn about the growers. I mean, the growers are my heroes and heroines, and they're very, very incredibly busy, so then it's like, well, how do you work with their schedule? How can you get them integrated into what you're doing without, you know, just drawing a further barrier between them working with us and us working with them. So a few things there is that many of our local growers write for newsletters for their own CSA boxes. We do reprints. We ask them, can we reprint your article? So we have like a section in our newsletter called Growers Perspective. If they're having an event, we promote that in our newsletter. We encourage people to go to that event. So we just constantly look at ways that we can sort of more or less go with the flow instead of, you know, stopping and saying, well, our thing is most important. My team's here at the conference right now trying to get grower photos so that we don't have to make a trip out to a farm if we're too busy or we're not trying to ask the growers to come to us. And so that's another thing, another great advantage of this conference is you can, you know, take a moment, get some shots of your local growers. And what we do with that is we put those up in our produce department right by the product. And I have, like I said, I'll pass around some of these examples. So this is an example of creating four different seasonal graphics, obviously, that go along with each season, and we use these in many ways. And then we pull those graphics off, and then through the season we'll highlight various fruits and vegetables that are in season, again with the symbol and then whatever it is, and these fit right up above our produce. And on these signs, And then the other thing I was just mentioning about the growers, we feature growers' faces, and these aren't exact grower quotes. These are reasons to buy organic, and then we have a whole set where we've actually asked growers, you know, why are you growing organic, or what do you want to say to consumers, and we translate it out in this format. Another thing that Andrew's worked out is that we'll highlight on one of our end tables a particular farm's produce, and this happens to be T&D Willie. So we'll have a large poster in our produce department, and it'll tell people exactly what produce we have from, say, T&D Willie. And that's been really successful promotion. I mentioned the artist. That was last year's sort of graphic that we used. And what we do is we put it on posters. We use it in our newsletter. We'll put it on organic T-shirts, shopping bags, and that's okay. I think it might be twisted around you. Here we go. Okay. And so this year, this is our new design. We haven't gone any further with it, but we're deciding to go with the theme that farming as if nature matters, and then we pulled a really good quote. We like to encourage the idea of that we want people to feel good about their choices, because that's what it comes down to, is everybody making choices. So I think someone mentioned focusing on the positive, trying to validate customers for when they are making choices, when they buy local, so they feel good about it and they want to do it again. This year we wanted to show a woman farmer. We also want to integrate livestock. So there's a lot of symbology that we use in our graphics and reasons for it. And then we get more specific through newsletter articles. We have a very extensive demo program, because we like to let people taste the food. And that's another thing, cost effective, if you don't have a lot of budget. We started out with a hot plate. We have now a whole demo center in our store, and we have demos every day. We do both freestanding demos where we just cut up produce and have information out there, to full-blown cooking demos. Actually, Virginia's here. She does demos for us. And the sign project. That was huge. I've done probably 14 sign revision projects, and when I thought we had to do another produce sign project, I wanted to run away. It was bad. But we actually hit on, I think, something that's working for us. We have three different sizes. Here's a few more. And this took, is Andrew still sitting in here? Okay. We had so many conversations about the signs, because basically I kind of said, I'm not even doing anything on these signs until we think it through all the way. what's going to happen from the moment we hand a sign over to the department? Where are they going to keep them? How are they going to change them? Is it going to be a pin that wipes off? Is it permanent? Do we laminate them? What do we do? So we had to be able to, like, think the whole thing through, and it took a long time. It was really worth it, and we did every variety that we could possibly think about that we would ever carry, so that you aren't seeing in the department, you know, scratched out signs and faulty information. It's working great. I think Steve, Andrew, myself, or Paul would be happy, because I think if there are any retailers here, you know what I'm talking about with the signs, that our signs are working for us now.
Can you wipe these off?
Yeah, you can. So all the produce department has to do, they have to change, they write on, I think that the department manager, Andrew, puts the farm, it's all associated with when the product comes in, she writes the farm on it. Then all they have to do is change the price, but the name of the product. And the other thing we added on all our signs was varieties. We wanted to get people used to different varieties, but all the different varieties for all the produce that we have. Another promotion that we did as far as generic promotions, as I mentioned, I love working with quotes. I love taking wisdom that other people have and share and putting it out there. So we did, this was a summer promotion. We made big banners, and our graphics designer sort of blended together summer fruit with a backdrop of places that people like to go in the summer, the mountains, the desert, the forest. And these were huge banners that we just hung over the cash registers to hopefully encourage people to buy more fresh fruit, and the words of Thich Nhat Hanh and other people, just to, you know, the idea of just connecting people back with the fact that food does grow in the earth, and people grow it, and it's something that, you know, just tying the, I do a class, actually, I'll just bring this up, which I call Connecting Food, Health, and the Environment. And that is really what we try to do at the co-op, is just to keep bringing those things together in many different ways. And this is a really cost-effective, easy thing to do, except for it takes my time. But it keeps me in touch with consumers that are brand new to organics, because they come and they get a chance to get some basic information about organics. I've utilized the OTA video, and then we do tastings. They get to try all types of different food and ask questions, and that's a chance where I get to hear, what are these people thinking? What are their misconceptions? What do they want more information about? And that really helps me then go back and get, you know, figure out, well, what articles do we need to put in the newsletter? And did you have a...
Organic Valley is providing farmers for you to put in the stores for demos.
They do, yeah. And that's, and I guess that's another thing, is just to really try to tap into all the resources that are available through other cooperatives, your growers. We work, like I said, with... the Organic Farming Research Foundation. We work with CCOF. This is another program that we started. How many of you are familiar with the Bioneers Conference? Bioneers? So we went to the Bioneers Conference, and we decided that it would be really great to bring this back to our community. So we bought all the videotapes, and once a month we have a learning center, which is another wonderful asset that we've acquired since Paul came to be our general manager. But once a month, we show one of the Bioneers videos, and then the money, we just charge like a $5 donation, and that donation goes into a project that we call Adopt an Organic Farm Program. And what we do with that money is we help small local growers in our area that have not been able to certify to get their certification. So we raise money, you know, $5 at a time, but once again, it's back to the consumers connecting with the people that grow their food and feeling a part of something. We just actually helped our first farmer get certified, Natural Trading Company, and then we'll take his story, we'll put it in our newsletter, and that way the consumers can see the results of their donations.